Welcome to the ProWrestling.net NXT Recap. I'm your host, Zach Zimmerman. You have to forgive me, spring has sprung here in Springfield, and my allergies have flared up, so if I'm sounding a little bit nasally or a little bit raspy, well, it's because I am a little bit nasally and a little bit raspy, so if you can bear with me, I appreciate it. Hopefully it'll be, I'll be kind of accustomed to it within a week or two and things will be back to normal. But today, actually, before we jump into the show, this is a special all-access edition, which means that everybody is hearing it, including all of you freeloaders at the website, which means that I do have to promote ProWrestling.net membership. Guys, it really is money well spent. First of all, it gives you ad-free access to the website, which really, I mean, once you go without those pop-ups and stuff, it's really the way to go. We also have access to a great, great amount of members' audio. We give you a pretty solid taste of things there on the free side of things with Jason's daily updates, including every once in a while it'll also be a free daily podcast like the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast or well like this one this week. But ProWrestling.net members get all of the shows every week. And even ones that you guys don't get here on the free side. So you get my NXT reviews, you get reviews of Raw, SmackDown, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor. I don't know if we still have people dedicated enough doing Impact audio reviews, but we might. I'm actually not sure. I definitely don't keep up on Impact, so that's why I'm unable to tell you. But then we also have Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett getting together for the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. It's a good weekly discussion from those two who are pretty intelligent wrestling people. And then, of course, we have the flagship broadcast, which is ProWrestling.net Weekly. Jason Powell and a guest of his choosing. Sometimes it's somebody in the business. Sometimes it's one of us who writes for the site. It's always, a good show, jam-packed with news and analysis of the week that was and the week that will be in wrestling. So ProWrestling.net membership is really the place you want to go if you want to be plugged in. And just not the smart wrestling fan where you're going to be the smart mark, the know-it-all, that kind of fan. But if you want to be plugged in, tuned in, know what's going on with all the news and analysis, ProWrestling.net membership really is the way to go. And I'm also going to promote while I'm at it, nothing to do with that in the membership, but just check back on the homepage over the next few days. NXT is doing a swing through the Northeast, and they're going to be coming to Lowell, Massachusetts, Kingston, Rhode Island, and Poughkeepsie, New York. I am kind of, my hometown is kind of a hub right between all of those, so I will be making the trek out to all of those shows, and we'll be reporting on them at ProWrestling.net, so be sure to check back for the NXT live event results throughout the weekend, with my perspective included. But as for this show, this is the one that aired on 420, happy 420 for those of you who, I guess, celebrate the, celebrations that are done today, participated in today, if that's your thing. This show, we kicked off with the opening video, then we came inside the arena that they had set up at WrestleMania Access, so same arena, not particularly great, same crowd there, not particularly great. I mean, nothing against the people who were there, but it's just, maybe it's the way they were mic'd, maybe it's just the number of people there, the way they had them set up. It was just not a particularly great crowd, or great environment, period. We had the commentary team briefly hyping Samoa Joe versus Apollo Crews in the main event. We came into the arena where we got Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy kicking off the show with their entrance. Enzo, the certified G Bonafide stud, did his usual intro, introduced Cass, 7 foot tall, you can't teach that. Once they were in the ring, Cass asked the crowd how they were doing. Cass said that he and Enzo are the longest tenured team in NXT history, but he said they've never faced the guys that we're facing in the ring tonight. He said everyone's going to find out whether or not American Alpha is SAWFT soft. And with that, the new tag team champions, Gable and Jordan, American Alpha, were out next. Got a big reaction, relatively speaking, by this crowd's standards. And the fans chanted, "This is awesome," even before the bell. This was a non-title match, by the way. We had Enzo and Gable opening up. The commentary was obviously post-produced because they talked about how Enzo and Cass had shown up on Raw and SmackDown and been finding some success so far. It was Gable and Jordan isolating Enzo throughout the opening minutes, kind of just working over his arm with basic stuff. The one would keep hold of the arm, tagging the other guy and hand it off to him, and they would kind of maintain another arm lock, that kind of thing. Cass got the tag going into a commercial break. It didn't get a hot tag at that point, just a tag to square off with Jordan. We came back, Cass and Enzo had taken control for a short time. Cass kind of slammed Enzo across Jordan. Most of their offense involves Cassidy just kind of ragdolling Enzo into his opponents. Gable came in, took a little bit of control for his team, but then Enzo and Cass kind of got what you would consider the heat of the match on Gable. They maintained control for a little while. Cassidy did some impressive stuff. He did the thing where, you bring the guy's arm and then you lift him up over your head by the arm. He did it the first time, it looked okay. He did it the second time, and it looked a lot better. Just kind of good power spots with the smaller but talented Gable and the big man Cass. Before long, though, Jordan took the hot tag. Actually, I shouldn't say before long because the heat lasted a little while. But Jordan eventually took the hot tag, tossed Enzo around with suplexes. There was a slight hiccup where he looked, not a hiccup in the match, but a hiccup in his game plan. When he looked for his spear in the corner, but Cassidy ran in, dove between the ropes in the corner to take the bullet for Enzo. But that was kind of all for naught. It just eliminated him from the match because moments later, Jordan tossed Enzo with another suplex, hit that big spear he does in the corner, that grand amplitude alley-oop suplex that American Alpha does, and the tag champs beat Enzo and Cass in about 10 minutes. Solid tag match, a lot of chin locks. It was really slow to open. Not particularly great, not really memorable, not one of either team's better matches, but it was okay. These teams haven't really worked together a lot, so I feel like they haven't had the chance to gel together yet. So not particularly great, but it was okay. We went backstage. Apollo Crews said that nothing bothers him more than bullies. He said he's followed Samoa Joe's career since before he even started training himself, and he's well aware of what Samoa Joe can do. But he said he can do a lot of things himself, and he's going to show Joe what he can do. He welcomes everyone to the Age of Apollo. We got a No Way Jose vignette, and that hypes him coming up next. As far as Cruz's promo, I mean, again, it feels like if they just gave this guy basic bullet points and let him script it himself, it would be a lot better. It seems like he's reciting his promos line for line, and it just, I don't know, this guy's not coming across just authentic or believable or anything. And that's why I'm super surprised to see him call up to the main roster at this point. He's one of the guys who I've actually been kind of down on lately as a guy who has really shown little to no progression since showing up. He's athletically talented, he's got all the potential in the world, all the raw talent in the world, but he hasn't been honed yet, you know what I mean? He really hasn't figured himself out, he really hasn't found his voice on promos, he hasn't found his charisma or his personality or his character yet. So I think it's a rushed call-up. We'll see if he can, sink or swim for this guy, so we'll see. Came back into the arena and we got WWE Performance Center trainee, German-born Alexander Wolf. He made his entrance, no video, but he did have some kind of generic rock music playing for him. He had some kind of trench coat get up with this big thing draped over his shoulders. It was a little bit much. The trench coat thing is kind of cool, but he can lose whatever he had draped over him. And then No Way Jose made his debut. It was the same music that you've been hearing forever in his vignettes, just as annoying as always. And he danced out to the ring. He's got big poofy hair. Big afro, kind of like Carlito, but it's pulled back and tied back. He just danced out to the ring. His getup kind of looks like Bray Wyatt stuff, but bleached completely white. He's got like a, you know, like a I don't know really what to call it, like a Florida shirt. I mean, I don't really know what to call it, like a Hawaiian shirt, whatever it is, but it's just like completely white. He's got a white wife beater under that and white like sweatpant looking things, like the pants again, like the pants Bray Wyatt wears, and white boots, just all everything completely white. But he does wrestle. He takes off his shirt, both shirts, for to wrestle and just wrestling in the bottoms. This is the second match of the show, Wolf versus No Way Jose. Nothing particularly good here. Jose dances throughout the whole match, swiveled his hips to escape a wrist lock. It danced the whole time he did his offense. His offense was super basic. I really just spelled it out in my live coverage, trying to get across how everything he did was just very basic stuff. He did a jumping snapmare. He did an airplane spin, but then he stopped and he went the other direction. He did a Finley roll. Did a leg drop. Wolf made a little bit of a comeback with a drop. I think he dropped to hold him into the turnbuckles. Grounded Jose in a hold briefly, but Jose danced back to his feet. Did a series of jabs, a scoop slam, axe handle to the chest, running bulldog, and a big wind-up baseball punch for the win just shy of 4 minutes. Jose danced to celebrate his win. And the crowd sang his theme song. So the crowd was kind of on board. It was fun to sing with them, sing along with the music. And I get that. In the NXT arena, it might get over as a thing that the crowd likes to, sing and dance along with. But I think in the big picture, this act probably just has a short shelf life. And as far as like what the guy did in the ring is just kind of acumen he showed there as far as his moveset, as far as the way he carried himself. Nothing really stood out of him being like super talented or super standout in any way. Where I just don't sense that he's really gonna break through. We'll see. Maybe he'll adapt. Maybe he'll figure himself out. Maybe this character will develop some new dimensions. But week one, it was just kind of a new version of Adam Rose. Adam Rose 2016, short shelf life, maybe a fun little gimmick, but big picture, it's there's not a lot of money in No Way Jose. We went backstage with Austin Aries, who was kind of a dick. Was kind of Austin Aries. He was asked to respond to Baron Corbin, calling him lucky. He said he disagrees, but I guess Baron Corbin's entitled to his opinion. He said, I don't need luck when I have all this skill. He said, I proved my skill in 3 seconds in the ring against Baron Corbin. He said, I'm going to put everyone in the locker room on notice that I'm the greatest. He said that there's a plethora of A-level talent here, but only one is double A level. Okay. Well, looks like Aries is going heel already. That or he's just going Aries. Samoa Joe was shown warming up backstage. Elsewhere backstage, the Drifter was playing his guitar when he was approached by William Regal. Regal said that he's listened to some of Samson's songs and it sounds like the guy wants an opportunity. The Drifter, in the most emo teenager way, said, "How do you know what I want?" Regal said, you know what? I don't really know what you want, but I know it's best for NXT and that's all I really care about. So next week, you're going to wrestle Shinsuke Nakamura." And Samson was just looking kind of unhappy about that, and I think on his guitar he just went like wah wah wah. Yeah, not happy about that. And I'm not happy about the Drifter. But either way, he's gonna get his face kneaded by Shinsuke Nakamura, so that'll be okay, as long as they don't go too long and the Drifter doesn't get too much time in the heat. Came back into the arena, Nia Jax made her entrance, and Deonna Purrazzo was out next. This was nothing more than a squash match for Nia Jax. Same squash match we've been seeing forever from her. She just ragdolled Deonna. Used the kneeling shoulder breaker. Deonna showed a little bit of fight, but Jax just caught her running the ropes and planted her with the Samoan drop. Hit a leg drop and got the win in about a minute and a half. We went backstage where Bayley, who was wearing way too much makeup, I don't know, I mean, this is kind of a look like she had some eyeshadow done in like this really fancy way. But it was a little bit too much for me, especially where Bayley plays kind of I don't know. Her character is kind of that she appeals to the young girls, and she's, I don't know, I think she should just, okay, now I'm a guy and I'm getting on my pedestal talking about this, but just, I don't know, I don't need to see her in so much makeup. She's a pretty girl, she's a cute girl, and her character is kind of cute. I know her character has evolved and become tough, but she doesn't need to cake on the makeup. For just who she is and what she is. She said that she was asked about her thoughts on Asuka versus Eva Marie, which I guess is a match that we're going to be getting next week. She said that she knows firsthand how lethal Asuka is, but you can't underestimate Eva either. She's not just a total diva, she's got some sneaky tactics up her sleeve, especially if Nia Jax is in her corner. Bayley said that no matter what the result is, she's still got her eyes on that NXT Women's Championship. Apollo Crews was shown walking backstage, warming up for the main event, which is coming up next. We got Asuka versus Eva Marie hyped for next week, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Elias Sampson as well. We came back into the arena where it was main event time with Apollo Crews making his entrance, followed by Samoa Joe. These two opened slow, dreadfully slow, just wrist locks, headlocks, basic standard opening stuff. The most important thing of the opening, before the commercial break, was that they noted that Finn Balor has now surpassed Adrian Neville for the longest reign of the NXT Championship in NXT history. And interesting to me, they noted that Samoa Joe will challenge Finn Balor for the NXT Championship in Lowell, Massachusetts, at one of the live events, the first NXT live event of this weekend tour, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This one's going to be Thursday night. Friday night is in Rhode Island, Saturday in Poughkeepsie, New York. Things finally picked up a little bit after the 2 minute mark, where Joe teed off with a series of jabs in the corner. Tried to pick up momentum off the ropes, but then he ate a big drop kick off a drop down and a leapfrog from Cruz. Went to a commercial, and when we came back, this is where the match really kind of got into first gear or so, maybe second gear, I guess you could call it whatever you call it, and it never really left that point. Joe just kind of was in control for most of the match, basic stuff. Cruz would show a little bit of fight, but Joe would just keep putting him down and hitting his basic offense, not his basic offense, but his trademark offense. At one point, Joe looked for a suplex. Cruz blocked it and made a comeback of his own with the suplex. Some strikes, a stinger splash. A big kick to the head and the standing moonsault for a two count. He ran the ropes, but Joe caught him with that wicked snap power slam that he does for a two count of his own. Two went back and forth with the yay boo spots, but the crowd was just kind of like, bleh, 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 because it was this arena, this environment, this crowd. Cruz rocked Joe with a bicycle kick, though. Lifted Joe for his finisher, but Joe rolled through and spiked Cruz to the mat with that big Uranage, big STO thing that he does out of the corner. Joe just looked psycho as he stared into the camera. Hit several stiff Kawada kicks, just those lifting boots that he does to the head, and then he locked in the Coquina clutch. And before long, Cruz was forced to tap out around the 10-minute mark. And that was pretty much the show. Joe celebrated his win and held strong in the ring to close the show. It was a fine, unspectacular 10-minute main event. It started out really slow and never picked up beyond a certain pace. So it was a fine main event. It was competent. It was what, you know, it was okay. But it was just ultimately unspectacular, as kind of all of these shows coming out of this Access taping are. The opening tag match, you know, 10 minutes open slow, was okay, but not great. This one was kind of the same thing. Entertaining, I guess, while it lasted, but never like grippingly entertaining, just kind of there. So we have one more week of these shows next week with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Laia Samson. So at least you get to see Nakamura, and you get to see Asuka for the first time. No, maybe the second time as the NXT Women's Champion against Eva Marie. So you can look forward to that? Question mark. Anyway, I'm looking forward to them getting out of this Access Arena back into Full Sail for a set of tapings, which I believe they have coming up next week, maybe later this week, but I think next week. Of course, we will have spoilers on the homepage when those occur. But like I mentioned off the top, I will have full reports of all of the NXT live events going through this weekend, so be sure to check back for that. And also be sure to check back tomorrow because Darren Gundridge will be back with the NXT hit list as he is every week. I like to give my perspective here, of course, but it's always good to hear what someone else's thoughts on the show are. And Darren has been covering NXT as long, if not longer, than I have. I mean, we've been watching it the same amount of time. I think he's officially been covering it for the site a little bit longer than I have. So, yeah, be sure to get his insights there. But that's going to do it for me. Like I said, check back for the NXT live events reports, and I'll be back on audio next week for my NXT review. Take care, guys.